every day I tell my kid, bro, you're the champion. I love you. You're the best thing ever. Every single day. Sure. Even if I'm not with him, I'll call him and I'll be like, yo, you are what? And he'll be like, champion.
Hi, my name is Habu Legora, and my guest today is João Fonseca, aka J Something, the dude that got me to be the main photographer for Mikasa.
Let's do this, baby.
What's up, boy?
What's going on, champ?
I'm easy, my boy.
Very excited to be here.
Yes.
On your podcast.
Yes.
I've never spoken about this topic, and I wasn't sure whether to say yes or no.
I know.
But because it's you.
Yeah. I'm also nervous about it because I was overthinking it driving it because I'm like, I know that the media doesn't know about the side of your life.
Sure.
And you've intentionally like worked at like not sharing it. But I think like no one has really asked, like some people have asked. I mean, I'm always with you guys on the road in the interviews on radio, television. No one has really asked the question, why do you not want anything that has to do with like, I know like with your wife, like you share about Coco a lot. But like the little ones are in their little special corner.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, I think like the whole decision around this was if I'm going to give the exclusive to anybody, I might as well give it to a brother. You know what I mean? To somebody that's trying to do something.
You just, that's
and
it.
I guess that for me is what family is about, you know? And when you speak about like being a father, like you speak about being part of a family.
Sure.
And I haven't grown up in the most traditional sense of things. You know, my family has been my friends and...
Yes.
And I have some amazing family, but anyway, that's why I'm doing this because I view it as like it's family and it's very hard to say no, it's family, especially when somebody like you, that's always there for me, you know?
Sure.
Why do I not speak about being a father? It's an interesting one. I think that a lot of the things in my life have got a lot to do with time and timing, and feeling.
Sure.
I do everything based on gut.
Yes.
I when it feels right, I don't mind doing it. If it doesn't feel right, I don't want to do it. For example, when I got married, I didn't want to wear a ring.
Yes.
I didn't feel comfortable wearing a ring because I was this young kid and I was performing and there were a lot of women in front of the stage. And I had this opinion or thought that it wasn't the right time yet. I was still 26, 27.
Yeah.
You know? So I didn't want to portray that image yet.
Uh-huh.
And my wife knew, like, yo, I love you to bits.
Yes.
And I'm your husband.
Yeah.
And you don't need this, a ring to show you that.
100.
So she was cool behind it, you know? And then when I started sharing more about my wife, it was a strategy.
I know it was a timing thing. Yeah, I remember.
I don't live on social media because I want to share my social life. I live on social media because I want to set an example. That's why I wanted to be famous. I wanted to be famous so I could set an example. So for my wife, when I started sharing more about my wife, which I think is about 3 years ago, and we've been married now for 4 years and together for nearly 10, it was really based on the lack of role models, I think, there are in our industry around being a great father and a great husband.
And that's the nail on the freaking head, bro, because that's exactly what, like when I thought about what do I say or what do I talk about with you is that like, you know, like in the industry, there's like a lot, like the music industry specifically is like infamous for like portraying so many different social issues in a different way, like whether it's like patriarchy, whether it's whatever you want to call it. And the musicians have a responsibility.
Sure.
To some degree, because your voice is bigger than most people's. And and I know like with you, you take that like very seriously.
Sure.
Like you know that your platform is there for a reason. And I know like in interviews, you always say that you always wanted to be famous so that you could make a difference, have a voice that matters. But I kind of like also wanted to like ask you, like, you know, like right now we're like at the heat of like so many different issues, whether it's like xenophobia or it's like Me Too, or it's like women like dying or being killed and all these things. And I know that it touched you quite a bit when that stuff was happening. But, you know, like, what's your thought? Like, you're a musician. I don't know the best way to ask this. It's like, you're a musician and now you're a dad.
Yeah.
And it's like, at the height of all these things happening, like, where do you see yourself as a dad?
Sure.
In the space, like, I know it's like, you're a dad, you're a musician, I'm raising my kids, and I'm well aware of all these things. I know, like, at your level, it's kind of different.
You know, it's kind of like all the same. It's just, it kind of like, just when you have a kid, it kind of all just becomes a lot more personal.
Sure.
Because at the end of the day, like, with influence means leadership, right? So the bigger you become in your circle of influence, the more of a leader you are. So I've always viewed myself as a leader. And with leadership comes responsibility, right? Mm. So that's why, like, being famous for me, and that's why famous people that, like, don't take their fame with responsibility really piss me off. Mm. Is because, man, you've got, like, millions of people that are looking at you and you're influencing them.
Sure.
And a lot of people are influencing these kids and these people that are watching them in the wrong way. Mm-hmm. I mean, and that's a whole nother topic of discussion. Sure. But it really bugs me that as leaders, and whether you're a musician or whatever position mm-hmm. of influence you have, that you don't influence people for the better. You know, I think, like, with being a parent, it just became a lot more personal. I was like, damn, now I'm the leader of this one dude. Mm. And he's looking at me for everything. And it was probably the most life-changing moment of my my whole life. It was the most life-changing moment, was having my boy, you know. And that was 3 years ago. Mm. And it was, you know, from a young age, I wanted to be Michael Jackson. Yes. I wanted to be Michael Jackson in the music sense, and I wanted to be Michael Jackson in the fame sense. Like, I wanted to be that big because I knew that if I could be that big, I could tell that many people about love.
Sure.
And when I think of love, I think of God. And when I think of telling people about anything that I, if I have time on this earth, it's just to share about love. And then I had this kid, and then I was like, wow, I don't know if I want that anymore. I actually just want to, like, be with him, because you know what? The truth about everything is that everything comes at a price. And if you want it, if you want more, you have to pay more.
Sure.
And you have to sacrifice
more. I know that, like, you, when I joined, people that know the stories, like, when I joined you guys as Mikasa's photographer, like, it was at the peak of, like, traveling where you guys had, like, minimum 15 gigs a month.
Sure.
And now then you have your son. And, like, I remember you saying that, I don't know if I want this anymore. Yeah. Not in the sense that you don't want the fame, but like, the cost of it was a lot more.
Totally.
Knowing that, damn, like, I really want to be in this dude's life. So that's, like, it's different
just about perspective, you know. At the end of the day, like, one of the things that I'm currently obsessed with is speaking to older people and asking them about their lessons of life. Because, you know, one of the things that, like, I really want to know is what this whole thing is about. Mm. Now, what are we doing here? Like, what's the vibe? Is there really this afterlife? And if so, like, what are we supposed to be doing here then? Why do we have to take a stop here?
You know?
But I think for me, it's just about having the understanding around, what am I doing now in this moment? And when you put things into perspective, and I guess that's what the kid did, fame disappeared. And it just became less important. Mm. That's all.
Sure.
I had it as my most important thing in life because that's what I was obsessed with. And then I became obsessed over this little kid.
And now it's just about.
And now it's just about being. And, you know, also, Khaba, like, you know, but maybe it's important to say, like, I didn't have the most normal childhood.
And that's what I wanted to get to.
I didn't have the father figure that was there. I had this father figure who was this guy that was really busy and that was opening up hotels around the world and stuff like that. But he was also a player, and he was always cheating on my mom and stuff like that. And
would you say that, like, you're, like, I've heard you say this a lot, like, I'm a lover, I'm not like a,
I am, man.
You know, I know that vibe. And would you say that because of, like, your upbringing, you wanted to intentionally go against what you experienced? Kind of like you didn't experience that love from a dad. So much so that you felt like, listen, I have to do right by my boy.
Man, you have to try and analyze your life to see why things are the way they are, sure. so that you can have peace of mind.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you're like, why am I acting this way? Oh, it's because that happened. Mm. And then once you realize it's because of that, you actually have peace of mind. I remember when I was 11, my parents got divorced. Mm. And it was a very significant moment in my life. And I have that flashback that's so clear as daylight. You know, it was I was lying on my bed upstairs. My father was beating my mom downstairs, breaking stuff and whatever was going on. And I remember it was such an odd thing, but I had a little dog. And I looked at the dog and I held the dog. The dog's name was Kelly. It's a black dog. Like my dog, my dad got the dog from the SPCA. I don't even know what breed it was. It was one of those street specials. You know?
mix my side.
Sure. Yeah. And I remember looking at the dog and I remember saying clearly, you know what, Kelly? That's their life. We're going to have our life. I was 11, bro. We're going to have our life and I'm going to make things fine, you know? And ever since being that age and seeing my mother go through what she was going through and also seeing my father's side, all I ever wanted to be was a great husband and a great father one day.
I wanted to just pause that, bro. I think like that introspection of I'm experiencing this, but it's probably because I experienced that back there. Like, I remember there was a time where, like we kind of like had the similar upbringing. My dad was there. They were both in the house. They didn't divorce, but it wasn't that easy. He was present, but he wasn't present. So my thing was like, at some point, I was like, I remember sitting with my mom and I'm like, I don't know, like, how my dad grew up also. So that's the flip side of this
thing. Exactly. Man.
So I remember asking my mom, like, can you tell me? Like, he won't tell me. Like, he won't go that deep. He's not that emotional want to like break down his own upbringing. But I remember my mom saying like, his dad passed away when he was very young and he went into boarding school and all he knew was to fend for himself.
Sure.
And he was raised by his mom and then later his mom married again. So he had a stepfather. He wasn't gelling with the stepfather as well. So like, so now I'm like, and so the way that my dad brought me up was like, bro, you just, it's about the main thing. Get, as long as the family's fed, then you're fine.
Yeah.
And so for him, it was like, listen, that's what he ingrained into my system. So like at some point when I was married and my kids came along, my thing at some point was like, as long as there's food on the table.
Sure.
That's what matters.
Like a very old school mindset.
That's an old school mindset, but I had to kind of like introspect as well and think, yeah, okay, that's not enough. Because back then for our fathers, it was like, as long as there's food on the table,
sure.
but you end up with kids later at a certain stage saying, yeah, my dad, we were fed, but he wasn't there.
Look, and I think that's why these type of podcasts are like ridiculously important. And I'll tell you why, because I don't think we have a clue on how to be a parent nowadays because things are happening so damn fast.
100%, bro.
And things are changing so fast and we need to learn to adapt. How do you become a father in the 21st century with what's going on? Like it's an interesting thing. Like one of the things that I think of is like about technology and the kids always want to be on the phones and it's great having the kids on the phones because then you can relax and you can do your own thing, right?
Yeah.
Just put the kid on the phone. But there's so many cool things around technology that I think are fine. But I think if like my wife now just started doing tablet time.
Sure.
So she like has set times in the day that he can watch the iPad for like 15 minutes. And now it's become like a thing. He doesn't ask for the phone anymore. He's like waiting for tablet time. So he'll play with his toys and stuff until tablet time comes around and he does that. But my main point is that, you know, our fathers, it's different. I mean, like even from a guy like me as a parent versus Duda as a parent is so different.
Yeah.
And all there is a 7-year gap.
Yes.
And a different upbringing. And then it's so drastically different. Even myself and Mo, we different parents. Like he's a black dude. And I think like also like being black comes with its own culture.
100%.
Right? And it's got its own unique things.
But I'll touch on that then is that I want to take a step back. You said something that kind of like hit me a bit that we don't have that reference of how to be a great parent. It's not downplaying what our parents did. They parented, they did what they could to the best of their ability. But I think like for us, like my thing was like, how do I become better than my dad?
Sure.
Not to say what he did was wrong, not to say what he did was bad, but he did to the best of his ability, sure, to whatever reference that he had. Now, for me, it's like, how do I elevate that for my son and my daughters? Mm. It's the same for you. Like, I would ask you, is like, how do you do it? Like, what's your vibe with like raising your kids?
Sure.
Now, like in reference to where you come from.
I think before I answer that, I think it's always, you know, when somebody sees what I do, they always like, oh my God, like, how do you do it? You're amazing. And I'm like, I kind of just do it. I don't really know. It's kind of what comes naturally to me, right? And why I say that is because like when I met you, right, for point of example, I thought, wow, this dude is cool. He's a really good guy. He looks really well raised and blah, blah, blah. And you have your own perspective of your dad, right?
Sure.
Because you know him.
Sure.
You've been with him all your life.
Sure.
And when I met you, all I wanted to do was like meet your father.
Yes.
So that I could get to see, why is this dude such a good guy, right? And then when I met your parents and I got, like, I chatted long with your dad at your birthday, and I had such a great time, and I realized this oak is a legend. Like, your dad, he's a great guy, you know, like, and the reason why you are who you are is because of your dad.
Sure.
So it's an interesting thing because we always want to be better, but the fact that we are who we are, even as far as going as my father, who was an abusive father, sure, to my mother, who was a player, who was never at home, I still value who he is.
Mm.
Because the fact that I'm passionate is because of him.
Sure.
The fact that I'm like playful in my approach is because of him. You know, that I'm so hardworking is because of him.
I feel you. There's still something to celebrate.
Oh, hell yeah, man. Our parents, the fact that you are who you are is because of your parents.
Yeah.
Don't ever get it twisted.
Yeah.
Like your dad might be going through like a bad phase where he's like going through a thing and you're going to go through it too.
Yeah.
That's the thing, is that we all trying to run away from the things that happen in the life.
Sure.
But they it's part of it, man. But how the original question was, how do I approach being
a dad
in today's, you know, it's got a lot to do with gut. You know, and I think that like what I mean by that topic of like we need help, and that's why these podcasts are really important, is because there's like specific things that are happening that you don't know how to deal with, right? So like as a parent, like I'm so in love with my kids, man. Like all I want to do is just be with them. And every day I tell my kid, bro, you're the champion.
Mm.
I love you. You're the best thing ever.
Mm.
Every single day.
Sure.
Even if I'm not with him, I'll call him and I'll be like, yo, you are what? And he'll be like, a champion.
Mm.
So I emphasize because I want him to know that confidence is the most important thing.
Like,
believe in yourself before you try and have anybody else believe in you.
Yeah.
Believe in you. Because if you believe in you, you can convince other people.
I've heard you on the phone call with him when you're doing those things.
Yeah.
And I know that like even before he came into the picture, I know your biggest mantra or whatever that you had was like, you are your first hype man.
Yeah.
Like before anyone else hypes you up.
Sure.
And I know that like as a guy, I don't want to say it as a guy, it sounds like very weird, but I know that guys get a kick out of that thing, like, you know, I'm going to do this vibe.
Yes.
But I think there's also like, you know, there's confidence is one thing that I feel like as a dad, moms, and I hope no one takes this in a weird, like, patriarchy way. It's like, there's a certain voice that a father has in for their kids.
Oh yeah, man.
That a mother doesn't, and vice versa.
Sure.
And I think that like, he'll remember these phone calls.
Oh yeah.
He'll remember these days where like, you know, my dad used to call me and be like, you're a legend.
Yeah.
But I'm also understanding that there are those that don't have that.
Sure.
You know, and I'm like, I grew up where I had to do that for myself.
I had to do it for myself too.
Exactly,
man.
Bro. And then I'm like, you know, for me it's sad because I'm like, where would I have been now had that been my norm?
You just can't think like that.
No, you can't.
You know, because
that's
how life is, and that's how your dad is, and there's a lot of things that are you that wouldn't have been that way if your dad wasn't that way, right? Mm-hmm. So it's just about like you now become a better version, and then Lifa becomes a better version, and then it just hopefully gets better. The train just gets better, true, right? Because you know my name Fonseca, my family name, it comes with a lot of negativity for my brother and I, because we don't like that side of the family as much as we like the other side.
Yeah, I feel
right. And he said to me, "Nah, man, I don't want to be a Fonseca." And I said to him, "Well, that's horrible. You know why? Because the only Fonseca left is my son. He's the one that's carrying the lineage. Mm-hmm. So those people are going to die. And then there's only going to be our Fonsecas. And then we're going to be the new Fonsecas.
Sure.
And we're going to have to set the new trends of what this name is about, right?" Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm saying to you. I'm saying, like, we shouldn't obsess so much about the past.
Sure.
We should focus a lot on the, on the going forward. On this confidence thing and on like being a parent, like it's one thing that I've seen that's really cool. Like I obviously want my kid to love music, right? I want him to understand music and what it means and how important it is for society and everything, because I love music. But I have never forced it on him, you know? He comes in the studio when I'm in there and he's like, "Yo, Dad, this is our studio." And then he makes a noise on the keyboard and whatever, whatever. Play a song and he starts like grooving. He starts dancing. And then this happened like when he was like before one, he would just be dancing.
Yes.
And I'd be like, "Wow, boy, wow," you know, cheering him on.
Sure.
Now, man, the guy's got... He's like, now the confidence has gotten to the point where, like, if a song starts, he wants to be introduced. He's like, "Daddy, introduce me."
And that was your vibe.
That was my thing. Because
when you were a kid.
Exactly.
Yes.
I was an entertainer when I was young. Yes. I wanted people to watch me.
Yeah.
And now, like, the other day, he's like, "No, I want to take my guitar to school." And I'm like, "Cool, bro. Like, you're allowed. Like, go for it." But it's out of, like, seeing something. Like, if he wanted to do ballet, you know what I mean? Like, I'd need to kind of confidently...
Back him
in that sense.
I had last week, I remember I was having this, you know, kids, bro, like one of the things, like as parents, is like, when kids want to get into activities, just know that like your bank account might be empty because they want to do everything and anything. I remember just with my son, I was like, we enrolled him in like soccer and stuff like that. And then, every time he comes back home, there's no like enthusiasm about like, "Yeah, I want to get a ball and whatever." I'm like, I asked him, I'm like, "Bro, do you want to play, what do you enjoy? Like, do you want to play rugby? Do you want to play basketball?" Because I'm tall. So like, he also thinks like, and he see me play, watch basketball matches. Mm-hmm. And then, so now I just enrolled him in soccer because that's all they had. Then he's like, "Basketball." And I'm like, now I'm wasting my money on soccer. Like, then he's like, I'm like, "Okay, let me play multiple choice. Soccer, rugby, or basketball?" "Basketball." "Okay, damn. Rugby or soccer?" "Soccer." "Okay, soccer or basketball?"
Basketball.
I'm like, damn. Okay, so like now I'm like, at least I know like where his strengths are, what he really vibes with, what he wants to do.
Sure.
And I think it took me back, like when I had that discussion with him, I'm like, I know my upbringing was like, it was all about education, bro. Hmm. It was about the books. It was about nothing. Like, I'm a creative at heart. Mm. So, like, I remember, like, I grew up, like, sketching every single day, bro, in my textbooks, in my workbooks. My dad was a lecturer. My mom was a teacher. So, like, they'd be like, "What the hell are you doing?" Like, and, like, so then that was the reaction. It wasn't a...
Sure.
It wasn't a very, like, composed response.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
I understand where it comes from.
Yes.
Because of what their upbringing was and how the era was in their time. So like, but I remember at some point I was just like, "Yo, for my kids, whatever they want to do, whatever space they want to do, I want to try back them into that, regardless of where I come from and what my background is. Education is important, but I think like, you think about all these kids, they're like, "Yeah, my son, he was playing drums at 3. And then he becomes this massive guy when he's 20 years old, drumming for like huge artists." That's what I'm saying. Like, as a parent, like, you now backing the boy.
Well, yeah, you know, like I back it like very lightheartedly. Like, you know, when I think back to my, like we have become, especially in today's society, and I guess this is maybe my first point around parenting in today's society is that we've become lang strategists. We are like the most strategic people. Like, no, we can't put that picture on our Instagram profile because that's our wall. And that wall is like only for nice pictures. And we like strategic about our posts and what we're going to say and who we're going to share it with. And da, da, da. So we've become strategists. So now we see our kid playing basketball. We're like, oh my God, he's going to be Michael Jordan. So we're now already trying. And
the, I feel you.
My for me is like, my kid is dancing. Man, if he digs dancing, I just want to cheer him on so that he can feel great about himself and that he can just do it with love. Yeah. I don't know if he's going to be a dancer. Man, I don't care what he's going to be. All I want my kid to be, and I'm grateful that every single day of his life, bro, and I don't even know if this is normal, but I mean it. Every single day of his 3 years of being on this life, he's smiled every morning. Mm. He wakes up and he laughs. He looks at me and he's the happiest kid. And that's what I am. Mm. I'm a happy dude. And when I think back to when I was three, man, I didn't know I wanted to be a singer.
Yeah.
You know, like when I started becoming four, I started to want to entertain. Mm. But my mom, she didn't have the money to send me to the lessons and to whatever. So like I didn't have that privilege.
Yeah.
Right. So, and here I am without the lessons, without the extramural whatever, you know, and it's thing. And again, it goes back to one of the things that's probably been one of the most contradictory statements in my life is, does everything happen for a reason or not? I don't know. I'm struggling with that. I try and understand
it,
but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
And that's when I look at my kids, I'm like, do they have a purpose? I know that we all have a purpose, right? But do they have a specific purpose? Like, was my kid born to be a dancer or this? Like, The more I'm like, man, I think that if my kid can just be a lover, if he can love people, if he can love himself, the other specific things, whether what he's going to be, that will come, man.
Yeah. Like,
as a parent, like, just love your kids.
Yeah.
Give them your time and your energy and cheer them on, because confidence
100%
in this life, man.
It's just playing it by the ear. Like, as long as they feel backed in whatever they want to do, I think
that's... But when you look at successful people, you have to attribute success to confidence. Mm. Somebody that was willing to go and do something that nobody else was willing to try.
Yeah.
When you speak about the local South African music scene, I have to take my hat off to somebody like Casper. Mm. The guy had the nuts to say, I'm going to do a show at the stadium. Bro, your nuts have got to be big for that. Like, it's for real, man. Like, it's like, I've been doing this for 9 years and I still wouldn't even say that now. Mm. And that's it. It's like, success are those people that have confidence. I'm going to try and do this damn podcast until I become Oprah Winfrey of dads. You know what I mean? Like, you don't know.
He said it, I did it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, but confidence.
And I mean, now, like, my biggest thing with this podcast is just someone out there, a man out there kind of needs to hear this, whether it's the wife that sends it or the daughter that sends it or wants to talk about it. I think my biggest thing was always, there needs to be a platform to share our upbringings. The everyday people, the successful people in the media's eye, behind the scenes, whatever the case is, because the topic is that we need to raise better men in our society.
Sure.
That's it. You know, like, so for you, like, what my ending question is that, just wrapping up this thing, is like, what do you feel like is that one thing that men in our country, specifically in South Africa, should do or work at?
Man, I'm going to give you one of the most ob answers to that question I think you'll get. We need to connect with the people around us and stop connecting with these people online, right? You need to stop sharing your problems online because nobody cares. The people that care are the people that are in your home, the people that are on your phone, you know, the people that you can call. One of the things that really bugs me today is that as men, as women, as kids, whatever, we're sharing our, like, man, I see celebrities sharing their problems online. I'm like, man, how shallow is your life? Mm. Can't you go and call your mom up or your uncle or your brother or your friend?
Sure.
Because those are the people, we need to start connecting again.
Sure.
Right? We need to start connecting with the boys. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, we obsessed over connecting online and we think we connected, but then we don't connect.
Yeah.
And the problem is that if we don't connect with one another, one-to-one, man-to-man, we can't sharpen one another.
That, I was about to actually get to that.
You know what I mean?
But because... For me, I mean, personally, and you know this, is that a big thing for me is to be around dudes that will refine me. Like, iron sharpens iron vibe. And at the moment, is that I remember before I even got married, they were like, at different stages, I knew that I needed different guys that would walk with me. When I was dating, I knew that I needed an example in that space that would lead me, help me get there. When I got married, there was a different kind of guy that I knew that I wanted to like help me, like teach me about marriage. Like tell me, like you've been in this game for 25 years. So like, what's the vibe? When I got into business, it was the same thing. I wanted to be around people that could sharpen me. So now, like, it's the same thing that I'm carrying. So I believe, like, and I totally agree with you, like being connected with other people that are going to refine you.
So important, man.
Bro.
And it's about connecting with real people and not random people.
Sure.
Because random people, like, that, yes, you can learn a lot from it, but we obsessed over, like, meeting up with random people and we don't obsess over meeting up with our people.
Mm.
You know, and maybe something that also has never been spoken about, but I mean, like, look at the Mikasa circle.
Mm.
You know, like, when you look at us being on the road, why am I so focused on the road? There's women everywhere.
Mm.
There's everything. Everything is on a silver platter. Sure. Whatever you want.
Yeah.
But I got brothers around me that help me to stay focused, right? It's about seeing someone, oh, Khabo's like that, and that's what I want to be like. So I'm not going to lose focus. Mm. I'm going to stay focused.
Mm.
Because we're men.
Mm.
We men. Men love women, man. Mm. It's just like a weird thing. And we're just attracted to women. And women are beautiful.
Yes.
And we see beautiful women all the time.
Yes.
So there's every day of our lives, we're going to be like, wow, she's nice. I wish I could have that.
Yeah.
But then you're like, no, refocus. I have my woman, and da, da, da. And that's why you need your brothers. That's why you need to connect with people that are real in your life. So how do we become better men?
Mm.
Start connecting with your brothers, with your friends, and build relationships that sharpen one another.
Yeah.
Don't have these useless relationships, man, that you go to and they're all like, man, small talk and all this crap, man, where you're just talking about, just find people in your life that like you can really have a conversation like this one.
Sure.
To be like, yo, man, I want to be a better father. What do you think about this?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
real
yeah.
talk.
Yeah.
Find like a grow up.
Yeah.
Like that would be.
That's
like,
it,
that's the main point.
Yeah, yeah,
find people that are going to help you to grow up.
Yeah. Man, I concur with everything, bro. So because the small talks in these circles, I mean, like, conversations can be very shallow.
Sure.
Like, and I think, like, stereotypically, sometimes it's like the things in our society are what they are because we're not having the conversations that matter in our circles in most cases. Mm. And I think the thing about being with your boys is that it's a safe space.
Mm.
So if I'm wrong about something, you should be able to call me out on something. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, totally.
Because, you know, especially, like, I'm going to use Mikasa when we're on the road. Like, if you see me doing something that I shouldn't be doing or whatever the case is, or dropping the ball with something, or I said something that I shouldn't have said, you know that you have the space and time to call me out and say something, and vice versa. But, you know, like, I think in most cases, it's a thing of, like, it's not the norm to call out your boy because sometimes you're like, I'm not sure, like, if I should say anything.
Sure. I guess it depends. Like, for me, it really depends on the severity of the circumstance. Like, you know, like, sometimes, like, boys just want to have fun.
Yeah.
Right? And I think having fun is really important in this life. Don't grow up too fast, right? Have fun, enjoy your life, and be a boy. Be a man. Mm-hmm. Like, enjoy it. But there comes a line that you can't draw.
Yeah.
You can't, what do you say? Go across.
Yeah.
You need to draw the line.
Sure.
And I think that, like, even being with Mikasa, I mean, one of the things that's changed a lot on the road, and we're still working on it, is just, like, how we speak about women.
Yeah.
Right? Because, man, this is no secret to anybody. You know, women know that guys talk about women. If you see a girl, you're like, woo, look at that.
Yeah.
You know? And I think it's like, wow, look at that girl. Instead of, yo, look at that thing.
Sure.
Or look at, hey, stalker. You know, like, stalker. Like, like that star stalk. Like,
I feel
man, like, don't view it that way.
Yeah.
It's just, that's our woman.
There's a lot of things we kind of, like, have to unlearn.
But it's all about, like, it's a process that's going to take a lot of time.
Hundreds.
And to, like, restructure your mind to, like, say, yo, man, we shouldn't be talking like that anymore. You know, it's okay to look, man. Like it's important for you to look and admire.
Yeah.
But there are lines that shouldn't be crossed, and I think that's when, as brothers, we should step in.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, like, if one of the guys in your team is doing something that, or saying something that is contrary to your belief, you know, you kind of have to, how do you say, like when you're eating a chicken wing, you just eat the meat and you chuck the bones. You know, you take from that person what you need to take.
Sure.
And then what you don't want, you put it aside. You know, it's like, you can't, nobody's perfect, you know? So I think that it's just about taking what did you as a listener take from this conversation? Maybe you didn't agree with everything that we said, but there is definitely some meat in here.
Yeah.
So eat what you want, eat what you can, and if that makes you a bit of a better person, then job well done.
Sure. Bro, I'm going to end it off here. Appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks, man.
You know what it is.
I appreciate it.
We're still fathering as we go, bro. We learn as we go.
Look, I think as a parent, one of the things that I wanted to share on this and for me that I'm still learning is parenting is really hard. And that when it comes to the decision of having kids, you're never ready. But, and having kids for me has come with a lot of anxiety because it comes with a lot of responsibility. Mm-hmm. And I'm still learning, trying to deal with that.
Yeah.
And I hope that us as men through platforms like this can get less anxiety and can get more direction and more comfort knowing that, hey, we're all going through the same damn thing.
Yeah.
It might just look a little different, but we're all going through the same damn thing. And if I want to encourage whoever's listening that if people need to have some guidance, then drop in the comments.
Hundreds.
Send the messages because I know you care and I know that your team cares. And I think that we need to have platforms like these where we can drop an anonymous question around like, yo, man, I'm struggling.
Yeah.
With this, what do you guys think?
The biggest taboo about men is they don't talk.
Sure.
I think it's changing. It's changing, which is great.
And that's what I mean about connecting, right? That's my main point.
100%.
If there's one point that I would want to summarize what I've said today is that we need to connect.
Yeah.
Man, we need to connect real time. We need to stop going to these churches with a whole bunch of random people and make church with the people that we love. Because the people that we love need us. And those random people that are in that church, they need to find the people that they love and find their circles and connect. Because we're all going to this building and we're not connecting. We're just standing there and we're listening to this dude and then we leave. Right? If we got together every Sunday in a home with our brothers and our sisters, the people that we really care about, and we broke bread and we spoke about life and we spoke about parenting and about God and about what we're going through, I promise you, man, we would be a lot better in this generation.
Son of a Son, a podcast about how being better men can help us raise better kids. Hashtag Son of a Son.
This is a POC podcast
powered by Blue Blood.